for at least a couple of sermons on the title, Can You Believe the Unbelievable? And in case you hadn't picked up on that, that is about faith. It's about having faith. And we're going to be there again this morning. We heard a sermon about Jesus and his disciples as he was about to go to the cross, when he told a couple of his disciples to go into town, they'd find a donkey's colt tied to get the donkey and bring him. And if the owner says anything, just tell him that the Lord needs him. And they stepped out on faith and did that. As unbelievable as it seems to us that you just go into town and start looking for a donkey that's tied, like, you know, well, what if there's not one tied? Well, if God said there is. So we can believe that and trust him. And then last week we looked at a man named Noah who was told to build an ark, a great big boat. And that don't seem as alarming until we realize the fact, as I mentioned last week, a lot of people have not known that it had never rained when God told Noah to build the ark. The ground was watered by a mist that came up from the ground, kind of like our dews in the morning. And that you go out in the morning, the grass is wet because of the dew. And there'd never been rain. So Noah didn't know what rain was. He certainly didn't know what a flood was. And then God told him to build this humongous ark or boat. And unless he lived close to a river, he probably didn't even know what a boat was or what it was for. But all that didn't matter because Noah believed God. And he did what God asked him to do. And God did what he said he was going to do. You know, there were a lot of unbelievable things in that request of building the ark. You know, he was going to get all those wild animals in the ark, and that would seem an unsurmountable task for most of us. But when God says do it, God's made all the preparations. We just need to do it. So this morning we're going to look at another man that was given some instructions that may seem a little bit odd and way out there to some of us. This man's name was Abram. And Abram was told of God. It's recorded over in Genesis, and we're going to be looking at about half of Genesis. So I'm glad y'all got your extra hour of sleep last night, because we may be here a while, okay? No, I'm kidding. We're not going to be here that long, but we're going to be covering a pretty good area of Scripture in Genesis and just taking some parts along the way to see what God had asked Abram to do and how God fulfills his promises. How we struggle with those things sometimes, and Abram did. But Abram was told by God, as recorded in the first few chapters, verses of Genesis chapter 12. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I'll make of thee a great nation, and I'll bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I'll bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Quite a challenge, we would think. If God just said, you know, get up and leave, didn't know where he was going, God just said, I want you to get up and leave your country, leave your home, your family, and go, and I'll show you where to go. That's what happened. You know, God told him that. And it's kind of a tough thing to do if you don't have faith in God. But you see, Abram had faith in God, And God, Abram knew that God would do what he said he would do. And Abram got up and went. I had the opportunity several years ago now to participate in the commissioning service of my brother Sam and his wife June up in Nashville, Tennessee. And they had been serving as minister of youth for over 20 years in a church there in the Nashville area. Had been very successful and living comfortably. Had built a new home and were doing well. But God called them to leave there, to go to Spain. And a place where they knew one couple. There was a missionary couple in Spain that they knew. They didn't know anybody else in Spain. And I watched them as they sold and gave away just about everything they'd worked for many years to acquire. Packed what they could in a crate that was measured 4 foot by 4 foot by 8 feet that could be shipped over to Spain. They left their oldest daughter, who had graduated from high school less than a week before they actually left going to Spain, and they left her here with my older sister to go to Bible college. They took their youngest daughter with them, and they went to Spain, where they didn't know, they didn't even know the language. They knew one couple over there. And as I was involved in that commissioning service, it really became real to me the sacrifice that was being made when God calls you to do something and just stepping out on faith and doing that. And they did that. And so God blessed them. He blessed the ministry, and they stayed in Spain as missionaries for almost 20 years serving there. But it's a great sacrifice, but it's not nearly as much sacrifice as it is blessing when we do what God calls us to do. And God blessed them and has blessed them always, ever since. And God will bless you if you'll do what He's called you to do. We're going to find out that He blessed Abram. You know, He just said, hey, get up and leave your home, leave your family. I'll show you where to go. You just, all you got to do is get up and go, like I tell you. And so Abram did that. God, He promised to bless him in many ways. He promised to make him a great nation, to make his name great. He promised to bless those who blessed him and to curse those who cursed him. He promised Abraham that his seed would be so great in number they could not even be numbered. And one reference there in chapter 13 and verse 16, he said, "And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered." Can you imagine trying to number the dust, to count the particles of dust? That's what he was saying. If you can count the particles of dust, then you can count the number of Abram's descendants that he will have. Impossible to count those. And then again, he mentioned the stars in the sky. And he said, look up into heaven. And if you can count the stars, then you could count the number of your descendants. And so God promised to bless Abraham in several ways and multiply his influence greatly. When we think about those things, we think about how impossible it would seem for one man to have this many descendants. We have to be reminded, but with God, all things are possible. Nothing's impossible with God. So when God calls you to do something, you need to do that. We see that Abraham obeyed. Abraham believed God was able to do what he said he would do, and because he had faith in God more than in his own abilities. In chapter 12, again, in the first part of verse 4, it says, "So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him." He did just what God told him to do. And then again in 15:6, "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." In Hebrews, over in the New Testament, we have record of that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 through 10, where it says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with them of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." When God called him and told him to get up and go, Abram obeyed. He believed God. He believed God would do what he said he would do. The question for us today is, do we believe? Do we believe God will do what he says he will do? Do we believe this is God's word and it is absolutely true? And if God has promised it, he will see it through. And so Abraham believed, but Abraham was somewhat human. He was like you and I. He struggled along the way, just like you and I do. You know, even when we surrender to the Lord's will and we're committed to do what God has called us to do, there are some times when we struggle, when we question it, as Abram. He struggled with God's ability. Maybe he had a little temporary lapse of memory and forgot that God knows what we need. And God knows how to take care of us. We find that he was concerned, because his wife was Sarai, was a beautiful girl. And so Abram got concerned about the fact that the men would kill him to take his beautiful wife. And so he said, I guess I need to help God out a little bit, So he told Sarai, tell him that I'm your brother, not your husband, so they won't kill me. Well, God didn't really need his help, did he? I mean, God probably knew what he was going to encounter, and God had the ability to protect him. After all, wasn't that what he promised? He promised a blessing, and to bless those that blessed him and curse those that cursed him. And so God had already made the promise, "Hey, I'm going to take care of you if you'll just do what I've called you to do." That same promise is true for us. If we will just do what he's called us to do, and if we'll live for him, if we'll be faithful to him, if we'll put him first in our life, let him be the director and the arranger of all that we do, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We'll keep him first and foremost. Let him be the Lord, which is a controlling interest of everything we do. God will always take care of us. He'll always take care of us. He'll always protect us. He'll always provide for our needs. He will protect us from our enemies. He will protect us from anything that might harm us. But if we will only do what he's called us to do, if we'll only be obedient to him. And so Abram was a little concerned. He had a little human moment there when he thought, "I might ought to do something, to take care of myself. I don't know if God's figured all this out. I don't know if God thought about the fact that, Sarai's such a beautiful girl and they may want to kill me to take her." Well, God had already figured all that out. He knows every intricate detail about what you're going to encounter, what you're going to need when you encounter that. And God's already got things and people and things in place to take care of all those things if we'll just keep our faith and trust in Him. And then later on, over in chapter 16, we read about the fact that, you know, they're getting concerned. Now, God's, remember the promises, God's promised that His descendants would be like the dust of the earth in number. If you can count the particles of dust, you could count the number of His descendants, and they're going to be like the stars in heaven. There are going to be a lot of descendants coming from Abram. And so, over in chapter 16 there, he and Sarah are getting kind of concerned about how that's going to take place. I mean, he don't even have any children. How is his descendants going to be that plentiful? And not only does he not have any descendants, he's already well up in age. And Sarai, his wife, is past the childbearing age. She's too old to even have a youngin. And he's too old. And so they got to figure that out. And so obviously he wasn't too old yet. So, but Sarah came up with the idea that, you know, she's been thinking about all these descendants that he's been promised. And so not knowing how that's going to happen, so Sarai suggested that Abram go in a relationship with Hagar, who was Sarai's maid, so that he could have children. I mean, he can't have descendants if he don't have children. And so they're trying to help God out, trying to figure out how we're going to do this. You know, God don't really need our help trying to figure out how He's going to do it. He just needs our help in doing what He calls us to do in that work. And so Sarah mentioned it to Abram there in chapter 16, the first few verses. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, bear him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. So Sarai came up with a plan that Abram could have children so he could have those descendants that God had promised him. And since God needed her help in figuring that out, she was going to help him out. So she said, you can go in to Hagar, my maid. You can have a child by her. And that'll start this descendant thing. So you can have those descendants that God's promised you, because God's got, you know, we got to do something, or you're not going to be able to have any, all those descendants that God's promised you. So we need to do something here. But God didn't need that. He didn't need their intervention for Abram to have children. And so, as we read on, we find out there in the next chapter that Abram and Sarai's name, God changes their name, and that's where we get Abraham and Sarah, not Abram and Sarai anymore, because God changed their names there, and it's recorded in Genesis chapter 17 when the circumcision, the covenant of circumcision was instituted, and God changed their names to Abraham and Sarah. And so then when God promised again that Abraham would have a son, then they thought, well, it's a little bit late for that. You know, Abraham's 99 years old now, and Sarah's right behind him, and that's a little bit old to have children. And so it was a challenge to believe that, but God's able, again, to do what He says He will do. And so, what happens? Sure enough, Sarah becomes pregnant. She's way past the age to be able to. Okay. Devil don't want me to do this. We're going to do it anyway, one way or the other. Okay. And so, so Sarah, now well beyond the age of childbearing, and Abraham actually is 100 years old when Isaac, the promised child, is born. And so God comes through just like He says He'll do. And He'll still do that when He promises us that He's going to do something. We can count on that, and we can know that God's able to do what God says He'll do. And so, Isaac is born, Abraham and Sarah's son, the one who is God's promised child, who these descendants that are more innumerable than the dust of the earth or the stars in the sky. Isaac is the one that those descendants will come through. He's born. And so and then there was a little time when Abraham's faith had to be proven. We find it over in chapter 21, and you all know the story of where Abraham was called upon to sacrifice his son. Sorry, that's in chapter 22, when God calls Abraham and tells him to take his son, his only son, and to offer him as a sacrifice, the burnt offering. Abraham didn't hesitate, according to the way the Bible records it. He took his son. He got wood. He took two other fellows with him to go with him. And they went up the mountain where God sent them to go up to build an altar, to sacrifice his son, his only son, Isaac, the one who was the promised seed, the one who all these descendants would come through, Isaac. And so it's not something that we understand. How's this all going to happen now? Talking about believing the unbelievable. If he sacrifices this son, this one and only son that he has, the one who all these descendants are promised through, then how is he going to be the father of many nations? How is he going to have all these descendants? But, you see, Abraham just had enough faith in God to believe that, you know, maybe God's going to raise him back up. You know, if I offer him a sacrifice, this is the one that God's going to give all these descendants through. And so, you know, we don't need to try to figure out how God's going to do it. You see, that's the problem. A lot of times we got to figure out how He's going to do it before we will commit ourselves to being a part of it. You know, that happens so many times. So many times we got to have it laid out. We got to have the blueprints. We got to have everything that is needed to accomplish what God wants to do, you know, we got to have all the finances to do it. We got to have all the, if we're going to start a new program, a new class or what, we got to have, make sure we got the teachers already before we commit to do that. You know, whatever the situation, we got to have everything ready. We got to make sure we've got it. We want to sound, foolish, like by stepping out on faith and doing something that we can't do in ourselves, you know. But God has the ability. All we need to do is just do what God called us to do. God told Abraham to take his son, his only son Isaac, and to go up and sacrifice him. And so Abraham just did exactly what God said to do. So he got the wood, his son, and a couple guys go up and help him, and they went up into the mountain, and he and Isaac went on up to where the sacrifice would take place. And as they were going on up, Isaac said, well, Dad, we got the wood, and you got the fire, but where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said, God will provide. That's the answer that we need to learn to give when we're asked about those things that we don't really understand, we really don't know, but we know it's something God's called us to do. Then we just need to understand, we need to know that God will provide in those situations that we don't understand. We're not sure exactly how God's going to do it, but we just know God's going to do it. And so Abraham said to Isaac, God will provide. They went on up. Abraham built the altar. He tied Isaac, put him on the altar, and drew the knife back and was ready to take Isaac's life. And the angel spoke to Abraham and said, Don't do that. God provided. You see, there was a ram that was caught in the thicket right behind Abraham that God had provided to be the sacrifice. So why did God tell him to do that to start with? God wanted to know that Abraham was willing to do whatever he asked him to do. Sometimes God may ask you to do something that you think, man, that is so out there, so ridiculous. Why would God even think about asking me to do that? It may be that he just needs to know that you're willing to be obedient to him and to what he's called you to do. And he'll do that. But you see, God knew from the start. He knew before he ever told Abraham to take Isaac up there. He knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew that he was going to provide the ram to be the sacrifice. He knew that Abraham was not going to have to sacrifice Isaac. And so, but God proved himself. Abraham proved himself. He proved his faithfulness. He proved that he was willing to trust God. No matter how out there it seemed, no matter how impossible it might seem, God will always do what he says he will do. And if God calls you to do something, he will always, always, always provide for every need. Several years ago, as a matter of fact, it would have been back in the late 90s, around 2000, God began to deal with us about full-time pastoring. Had a good job, really good benefits, really good pay, working with Gulf Power Company, a lot of overtime, and just good job. And God began to lead us to leave that and to go into full-time ministry, full-time pastoring. And, of course, you know, church where I was pastoring, wasn't the salary wasn't much, But we prayed about that thing, and we came to the conclusion that that was, in fact, what God was calling us to do. I struggle with that, not so much in whether or not God was able, but because I had a supervisor that was really trying to make life difficult for me. He was not a Christian, and he had absolutely no support for God's work. If I had to preach a funeral, I would have to take a full day of vacation or a full day with no pay. Whereas my coworkers, if they wanted to get off a couple hours early because they were going fishing or hunting or something like that, and he'd say, okay, go ahead, you know. And so he worked against me, and it made it hard for me to determine for sure if this is God's calling or if I'm trying to escape some harassment from an ungodly supervisor. Never did I have a question about whether God was able, if that was what God was calling me to do. But I needed to know that that was what God was calling, and not Mike McVeigh trying to get away from some harassment. But when the answer came, it was clear. People ask me all the time, how do I know, you know, if it's really the Lord? Well, all I can tell you is when it is, it will be made clear. I mean, it was when the time came, it was just as clear gets. It was, you know, that's what you got to do. And so I filled out paperwork and left there initially with no retirement, I won't say no. The company had a provision where for 2 years I could take up to a 2-year leave of absence, and during that 2 years the company would pay their share of my medical insurance, which was a big deal, and life insurance for 2 years. And so I had to fill out paperwork to be approved for that. I filled out paperwork, got approved, and I left there. January the 5th of 2001 was my last official day at Gulf Power Company. We talked about, you know, Renee and myself, about how we're going to have to make some life changes. You know, we're going to have to change some spending habits and things like that. Because, you know, I was making really good money, and we were fixing to go on a pastor salary. And the church asked me what I needed, and I said, I don't know. That's not my decision. You know, that's your decision to make. I just know God's called me to it, and that's what we're going to do. And God's going to provide the way. Don't care. You know, I mean, I can drive up to the gas station to get gas, and the attendant can call out and say, Brother Mike, go ahead and fill it up. It's taken care of. I can go to the grocery store, and the attendant and the clerk would say, get what you need. It's already cared for. I don't care how God does it, but God has promised us that if we'll do what He calls us to do, He will provide the way. He will always meet our needs. And looking back, we've talked about this several times, we really could never see where we made that much of a change. Did the church pay what Gulf Power was paying? Absolutely not. But God took care of the need. Every need that we ever had, God took care of it. And God's still taking care of those needs, even today. And that's what God does when we just believe Him and we do what He's called us to do. It's not anything about Mike McVeigh and how good Mike McVeigh is. The only thing that involves me is I've been around long enough to know that when God says, do it, that He'll always take care of you if you'll just do it. Okay? And so, Abram originally, later changed to Abraham, he did what God called him to do. He got up, he left. He went to where God called him to go to. And God, remember, had promised him all these descendants. And we think, how in the world is one man going to have that many descendants, that much seed? And the answer is found in the first verses of the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And on it goes until you get down to verse number 16. And it says, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. You see how all those descendants came through Abraham and through his promised son Isaac. It's through Jesus Christ that all the world would be blessed. And all the world has been blessed by Jesus Christ. Jesus provided for the salvation of every man, woman, boy, and girl that's ever been born when he died on the cross. He's provided for all of our needs if we'll just trust him, surrender to him. It's a faith thing, okay? The question is, do you believe? Do you believe God's word's true? Do you believe God will do what he says he will do? Then if you believe that, then you believe that John 3:16, where it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. If you believe that's true, then you'll trust Jesus Christ. And repenting of your sins, accept him as your Savior, and begin to enjoy the benefits of that. It's not just to escape hell, you know. A lot of times we think, well, you know, I got to get saved because I don't want to go to hell. Well, that's a good reason. That's not really the only reason. Jesus said, I've come so you can have life and have it more abundantly. That's here and now. God wants to bless you here and now. And if you'll surrender your heart and life to him, if you'll trust him, he'll bless you. When God calls you to it, don't ever think that he's not able to take you through it. He'll provide for you every need. Whatever it is, God will provide the need. He proved that. He proved it to Abram and the child. You know, they tried to improvise a plan to help God out. God didn't need their help. You know, God knew what he was going to do. And God did it in a way that it could not be explained away. It was God and only God. He's the only one that could have made that situation work at Abraham and Sarah's age for them to bear a child. It was just a human impossibility. But with God, all things are possible. So whatever your challenge, whatever your call, your whatever it is, if it's God, just do it. Okay? When God calls you to it, then do it. He'll take you through it. Father, God, we love you and thank you today for loving us. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your word. That teaches us of your faithfulness. And Lord, beyond your word, I thank you for the personal experiences that teach me and remind me of your faithfulness. Lord, when I see how you have done exactly what you said you would do, when we are obedient to you, when we step out on faith and do what you've called us to do, then you never fail us. But that you always, always, always do what you say you'll do. Lord, help us to learn from these experiences of others. And Lord, to be willing to take that step of faith of whatever it is you've called us to do, that we just do it, just step out on faith, because we know that you will take care of us. You'll provide for our every need. You'll protect us. We'll have no need that you're not able to take care of, and we thank you for that. Lord, this morning, if there's one here who's never trusted you to be Savior, I pray that today will be the day of salvation for that person. Lord, whatever other needs might be in existence here, we know that you're here to meet needs. You said where two or three are gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst to own and to bless them. We know you're here. You're here to bless. And Lord, we just ask that your will be done. Help us not to reject and resist the leadership of the Holy Spirit. But the Lord, that we will be obedient to what you call us to do. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me for a moment. This morning, the question is not whether God is able. The question is, do we believe? God is able. God will do everything that He has said He will do. He really don't need your help to try to figure out how He's going to do that. He don't even need your ability to accomplish that. What He does need is your availability to see that through. If there's a need in your heart today, if God's called you to do something, if there's a decision you need to make, this is your opportunity. While we wait just a moment, we just slip out from where you are, come forward. Allow me to pray with you. You don't need to confess anything to me.